Today's reading is from 2 Timothy 3, verses 14 through 17. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. You may be seated. Children may go to children's church.
Let us bow our head in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come to you this glorious Sunday, appreciating the rain that falls on our ground, Lord, let your Spirit fall upon us. Let your word wash us anew in your revelation, the revelation of Jesus Christ and the words that he's given us. Let him put them in our heart and live them out daily. We pray this in your holy name. Amen and amen. So, I've got the wrong picture up there. The Bible, the revelation of Jesus Christ. We read from 2 Timothy 3, 14. But as for you, continue what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it. This is the Bible. Now there's an assumption here. Paul is writing Timothy, a young man. Has a pastoral role at this church in Ephesus. It's written to Timothy, hence it's called Timothy. Paul wants Timothy then, and us now, to remember what we believe, or even encourage us to know what to believe, and to trust those you learned it from, he says, because you know those from whom you have learned it. Timothy is on a mission. He has a job in his church, just like you and I. We have different roles, different positions, but we are in our church. And as Paul writes Timothy then, it's really even a letter written to us. We need to know what we know. We need to put our trust in people who have taught us. And we get that from Scripture. And, you know, Timothy, he's a young man. He's got a tough job. Paul's kind of his senior elder, his pastor, his father figure. And so Timothy needs guidance, like all of us. And Paul's encouraging him in the faith. He says, you know, remember me like a pastor and your other mentors in your life. They've spoken into you. They spend time. You know, excuse me. He wants Timothy to keep the foundational faith that he has learned. And there's a key to that faith, because we just didn't make this up and follow cleverly invented stories. We get it from Scripture in verse 15. And he talks about Timothy and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, these holy words, which are able to make you wise for the salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Now back then, their Bible would have been the Old Testament, and what they call the Septuagint. It was the Old Testament translated into Greek, which was the lingua franca, the language, the common language of both people. You might have your home language, like if you're Rome, you spoke Latin, but then you spoke Greek for the masses. And it's about wise for your salvation. You see, as believers in Christ, we are exclusivists. We believe, Scripture teaches, faith in Christ alone for salvation. There are no other answers. No other gods, no other prophets, no other books. Salvation in Christ alone. Not that I'm going to break anyone's hearts, but look to the person on your left and look at the person on the right, and you know they're not good enough to earn salvation. And then look in the mirror. None of us are good enough. What's our standard? Well, we're better than Mao Zedong. It's a pretty low bar. I mean, he killed only 60, 70, 80 million. You know, the number is so large, it's kind of up in the air. Or I'm better than Stalin. You know, we're down into the 18, 20 million. But we're never good enough. Well, I'm better than my neighbor. Still not good enough. Salvation in Christ alone. Now, I'm not against good deeds. We need good deeds. If you help feed the poor, that person is very glad whether you're a Christian or not. They are. If they're hungry and someone feeds them, they don't care whether you're a Christian or not, an atheist, a Muslim, a Buddhist. But that good work is not enough. It's not salvation. Christ alone brings salvation. Christ alone ends the wrath and damnation of hell. We were never made for hell, the demons were, but it's almost as if humanity has begged to get in. And then there's again an assumption for Timothy, as for us. He's assuming we know Holy Scripture, that we've read it. Now, for Timothy, it was from birth. He grew up in a home that read Scripture. And even at this time, the New Testament was beginning to be formed. These letters were written, and they were treating them as Scripture. So Timothy got an early start. Some of us maybe get a late start. But it's never too late to start reading Scripture. And Paul, as a pastoral figure, as an apostle, as a mentor to Timothy, presumes, would expect Timothy to be reading these Scriptures. And these Scriptures that we read aren't just words on paper. Now, there's a mystery here, because it says all Scripture is God-breathed. God-breathed. The breath of God. When you go back to Genesis, God breathed into Adam and brought life. An analogy, in the same way, his word is a breath and brings us life. Now, in some ways, that breath is an analogy, but it means it comes from God literally. God didn't dictate to us, but he inspired the people who wrote the Bible. He worked in their hearts and their spirit to write it down. Now, there's all kinds of terms for God breathe, and maybe you've heard them. All Scripture is inerrant, or infallible, or true in faith and practice. And in some ways, all those words kind of mean the same. Now, true in faith and practice is a little different. You might never have heard that, because sometimes people don't believe the stories in the Bible. It's just true about the salvation issue. But when we say God breathed, the breath of God, that the original words that he gave to these authors, that he inspired them in, they are true historically and theologically, and they reveal the hope of God. It's not made up. Now, some of the parables, are they stories? Were the people real? Like, when we get to heaven, is there really going to be a good Samaritan? I don't know. It's presented as a parable, yet it's kind of presented as a real man. I don't know. But when it talks about King David, when it talks about these people and places, they're real places. They're not just mythologies. I remember a young man was in his church, and the pastor's wife was teaching that those Old Testament stories, well, when she said stories, she meant they were just stories. That stuff really didn't happen. Or it kind of happened and they embellished it. Those two 17 or 18 years old went to the pastoral board, the deacons or the elders or the council, what they had, and said, do you know that this is what the pastor's wife is teaching? Some 2 to 3 weeks later, she wasn't teaching that class anymore. All Scripture is God-breathed and brings the truth of Christ forward. Now, there's many different translations, Bibles. There's the New Living Translation. There's the New English Translation. There's the English Standard Version. There's the English Version, the American Standard Version, the New American Standard Bible, the King James, the New King James, the Message, the Living. And why is that? Because people say, oh, the Bible contradicts. Okay, language is very dynamic. It's changing. In fact, I have the New International Version that was from like 78, and it uses a term like slimy pit. That was a big term usage back then. The new one, I don't believe, has those words because we don't speak that way. So we're keeping up. And, you know, we find more and more about how the Greek and Aramaic and Hebrew works. Hebrew is a very old language. You just don't go around and find old Hebrew manuscripts from 3,000 years ago. And those words are difficult to translate. And we always find new things. And so we're always learning. And we're blessed to have so many versions of the Bible. And you've heard me say this before, which is the best version? The one you're reading. I'm more of a New International Version. I have friends who are New King James Version, or ESV, or New American Standard, but they're reading the Bible. And in verse 16, all Scripture is God-breathed. It's the breath of God. And it's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. For teaching. How else do we know about Jesus Christ except for the Bible? Now, I believe God still speaks to his people today. When I've made big decisions, where I moved, who I married and stuff, I pray and I believe God's led me down a direct path. But nothing compares or competes with Scripture. If someone ever says, well, they have a revelation that's beyond Scripture or contradicts it, don't listen. Don't listen if it's me. And so we are to teach Scripture to each other, to learn. It teaches us about God, about Jesus Christ, about living. It's foundational. It's always funny sometimes when I read, Psychology Today says this, this, and this about certain things. I'm like, wow, the Bible's been saying that for 1,500 years, for 2,500 years. And they act like it's new knowledge. We're made for companionship. Yeah, the Bible was talking about that for, you know, a long, long time. And rebuking. Now, nobody wants to be rebuked. I can remember a time, I think I was in eighth grade, and I come home, and there's a police car parked on our street. And when I go in, the police officer is there. And I was rebuked for making what we would call, you know, bomb threats on the phone. I wasn't even the one who did it. I was just in the room. Guilt by association. I was rebuked. It wasn't fun. It ruined my day. I'm amazing how well my parents took it. I knew that police officer. He knew me. He didn't believe it. One of the people that my friend called did. Made too big of a deal out of it. But you know what? In hindsight, I'm glad I was rebuked. It's good to get rebuked when you're young and make a mistake versus later when the consequences are more. Correcting. We are to correct wrong things. If you're doing something wrong, you don't want to keep doing it. For instance, if you're in driver's ed and you're doing something wrong, like, you know, turning left on a red light, you want your driver's instructor to say, no, we shouldn't do that. But there's no car coming. Yeah, but it's still illegal. And it's not safe. Oh, no, I don't want to correct anybody. I don't want to judge. You know, when I played on the street as a kid, my parents would say, get off the street. At least when a car's coming. I mean, I'm glad they corrected me. You know, as I got older and I was a young Christian in the church, I had people correct me and say, well, no, that's really not right, or we might disagree. We correct each other. But we need to be corrected when we're doing something wrong. You know, if you ever find somebody who never wants to be corrected, don't marry them. And training in righteousness. Now, we live in a Christian culture in the United States. We can argue, are we a Christian nation? What does that mean? We've had presidents say we're not a Christian nation. The one thing you can't deny is we as a nation, now we've walked away from it in the last 10, 20, 25 years. I was raised in a Judeo-Christian heritage. For instance, adultery is generally not accepted in our society. And all the spouses said amen. Okay, it's not. That's probably changing because we're getting away from our Judeo-Christian heritage. I was talking to another young man and we were talking about, we knew some people from some Asian countries. And we were talking about their lack of Christian heritage. And he brings up, he goes, yeah, so-and-so is like, adultery, yeah, you know, it's kind of frowned on. Frowned on? It's not a Judeo-Christian heritage. They don't think that way. Well, it happens. That's sad. At least they were equal. It was for the woman and the man. What we take for granted sometimes would be just mind-boggling to some other countries. We are to be trained in righteousness, to know right from wrong. When you go and work with some people who have never been to church, have never read the Bible, sometimes you ask them why they believe something is right or wrong, because they'll say, oh yeah, I'm against adultery. Why? And they really can't answer you. Well, just, it's, you know, we're against. So if both spouses agree to it, to make it okay? See, where do our morals come from? They're scripture. We are to train each other in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Okay, the Bible, sometimes it can be difficult to understand, like Terry Lee Cobble said, because it's not an owner's manual. You read the owner manuals for your vehicle. Okay, all you nerds out there who looked at your owner's manual for your vehicle, don't raise your hand. It's very specific. You know, change the oil at 5,000 miles. You know, just very specific. You know, or have you ever gone through your employee handbook? It gives you very specific guidelines. Some places in the Bible does that. A lot of places, they don't. God cares more about your heart. It generally, well, I'd say always, gives us what we need in specific things. When it comes to salvation and who Jesus Christ is, it's very, very specific. And see, sometimes the problems we have with the Bible is it doesn't say everything. And so we want the answers. We want answers to questions the Bible's not answering. Evolution, end times. You know, there's just people that think they've got it figured out what the Bible says about those things. Age of the earth. How the end times is going to work. It's not nearly as specific. It is not addressing a lot of those issues. It's just not. Some people think it is. I wish it was more specific. I don't believe it does. It's not giving us some of the details we want. And what's sad for me is sometimes we'll argue over those issues. And where it gives specific things, like when we read from Deuteronomy today about helping the poor, well, they can help themselves. But let's argue about end times. It equips us. It is equipping us for good works, to be about the business of our Lord Jesus Christ, prepared for everything. But it doesn't give us the knowledge of everything. It often is not addressing issues we want the answers to. So, the Bible. Terry Lee Cobble said, sometimes it can be difficult to understand. So this is where the Bible recap comes in. Because the Bible is our foundational information on God's plan for humanity, salvation, and the revelation of Jesus Christ. People will claim it's unreliable. You can't read it. It's, you know, God's bloodthirsty and narcissistic. And why does he need worship? What kind of God needs worship? It's not that he needs it. It's that it's the best way for us to relate to him. And people sometimes just cherry pick all the bad parts. I mean, Christians do that sometimes for their views. You know, the old joke is, that might be in the Bible, but that's not my theology. Well, you better match up your views with the Bible. But how do you do that? You've got to read it. You know, Terry Lee Cobble, she said the first time she read through the Bible in a year, she goes, I really struggled. I struggled with the God of the Bible. There's things I just didn't understand. And she goes, I had to go back and read and study. Keep learning. We always got to keep learning. You know, sometimes my wife and I would get up and we read our verses and we're reading the same things. You know, we bring up things, oh, I never thought of that, or that's kind of new. Or if we're reading our little Bible notes in the bottom or listening to a video, I never heard of that view before, or I kind of disagree with it. But the goal of Bible Recap is not to become a Terry Lee Cobble fan, okay? The goal, and what this woman has done, which I really admire, is to get us to read the Bible. You know, most Christians don't read the Bible. I've told the story before. There's a guy named Bart Ehrman. He used to be a Christian. Says he's not now. He's an agnostic. So some people say he's lost his salvation, forfeited his salvation. He was never saved. No matter what, he's not a believer. And he teaches Bible, because that's what he learned. And he'll ask his students, so how many of you believe the Bible and believe that it's the Word of God? And all the hands go up. And then he asks the kids, and how many of you have read the whole Bible? You go from like 90% down to 5%. I'm personally glad, you know, it's tax season, that my tax accountant reads the tax code. Could you imagine, oh, I'm getting my taxes done by Mr. So-and-so, and he doesn't read the tax code. I'm like, how do you feel about jail? Because that's where you're going to end up if you're worth any kind of money. We need to read the Bible. And she's encouraged us to do that. And, you know, she said her first impression was wrong about the Bible and reading it. How often in your first impression? That's the end point, backwards. The starting block. And reading our Bible is not a sprint, it's a marathon. You just keep walking and keep going. Every step is a new step. Actually, it's such a long marathon, it's called life, you never get to the end. A sprint, you find the end. The Bible, you'll be reading your whole life, and there's always new things to read. So our Bible, Holy Scripture, is a roadmap. You know, and sometimes you'll hear different people say it certain ways. I think Terry Lee Cobble will say it, where the Bible whispers, we should whisper. Where it shouts, we should shout. Or major on the majors and minor on the minors. Sometimes church members will fight over minor things, and pastors will do that. And, you know, sometimes I get together with other pastor friends or Christian friends, and we disagree about things. You know, but we agree on 95%. And we should focus on that. There's nothing wrong with disagreeing and having little debates and discussions. And there's some issues that are major enough that where we have different denominations, I get that. It doesn't mean that round Nazarene church isn't of God. They are. Pastor Luke, you for Good Friday, there's Pastor Carl, there's Pastor Shannon, Pastor Melvin was here. We all have different views. We really have some different views. But we agree on 95%, and we all agree that all Scripture is God-breathed. And the Bible Recap is kind of written for the average person, not for a theologian, not for a scholar. It's written for the average person. It gives a brief review. Some of you have study Bibles. I have a study Bible, and it has a Scripture up here, and then down below it has notes. That's kind of what she does. I actually think she does a better job than my Bible notes. And my Bible notes, they get off on what they really like. And when there's a really difficult scripture and you look down the Bible notes, they have nothing. Ooh, let's ignore that. I'm like, who wrote this? I'll give Tara Lee credit. She usually addresses the issues. Now, do I agree with her? Heavens, no. Most things I do. You have to understand, I don't agree with myself. I have changed my views over the years. My wife and I don't always agree. We'll talk. This morning we were talking about something. When Jesus rebuked Peter, was he rebuking Peter? Was he calling Peter Satan or referring to Satan literally? And, you know, we were just discussing that and really didn't agree on it. But again, she believes all scripture is God-breathed, and she wants you to get to read it. You'll meet people, whether they're Methodist, Baptist, Nazarene, Church of God. They've been in it their whole life. They've probably never changed their view on anything. That's just what they're taught, and that's nice. But once you move around a little more, you'll start to realize other people believe different things. And if you can live in the same church or denomination you're growing up with, that's great. But when you meet other people, you'll find out that they love the Lord too, and they don't agree with you on some things. And that's okay. Now, there are certain issues like, well, the Bible's good, but you know, if our pastor brought up the Quran or the Book of Mormon, we'd be good with that too. No. Again, we're exclusivists. Holy Scripture, Jesus Christ. There's some things that definitively make us Christian. So, do I believe everything she says? No, and it doesn't matter. It's good to have other views. Because when I've listened to her, sometimes it's like, I've never thought of that. That's an interesting point. I got to look through that. I got to study it. And then she has more in-depth notes if you want. So you can get more other views. And she, you know, she kind of has her slant to things, but she tries to give you other views. But even before that, her goal is to get you to read the Bible. Need help setting up the Bible recap? She might have used words that were scary. An app, your phone, the computer. There's still a book. It's a big blue book. It's around here somewhere. We're going to find it. You can do the book. I am personally making a guarantee. If you want to get your Bible app set up and your computer, I'm going to send my wife. No, I'm not going to. I will send me. If you want me to set you up on your computer or your phone, I will personally come and help you do that. Because you can read. It gives you like a what to read, when to read it. And then you can listen to her little review. Yeah, you don't have to even listen to her review. I enjoy listening to it. I enjoy listening to other people's views. But I will help you set it up if you want to try. I will come to your house, or you can come here. We'll have coffee. I mean, it really wouldn't take that long. But I know sometimes, even for me, when I first set it up, because, you know, my wife has been into it. I remember Margaret Clay started it. I can't remember when. I heard certain things about it. I was kind of confused, like, where do I go for this, and how do I list? You know, and I was like, just jumping all over the place. And I actually sat down one morning and did it. I'm like, oh, this is easy. Anything's easy once you know what you're doing. But you got to sit down and kind of do it. Or there's the book. Now, I got a confession to make. She talks about reading the Bible in a year or the New Testament like in 3 months. I have never read the Bible in a year. I will probably never read the Bible in a year. I'm more of a 2 or 3 year guy. I don't care if it takes you 3 to 5 years, but you're reading. Guy, my intellectual level, a year is just too fast of a pace. But some people like doing that. They just like just jumping in. I like to go a little slower. But we need to read the Bible. You know, there's other Bible reading plans. If you got one of those, start it. Or look and compare it. But we need to read Scripture. Some people think Scripture is old and outdated. Here's what's amazing. For all the years we've had Scripture, it rings as true to life now as it did 2,000 years ago. Amen. You got these old Greek manuscripts talking about the same problems with human condition as 2,000 years ago. One thing about humanity, we're consistent in how we screw up life. But God is consistent in His grace for all of us. You know, some people, they might not like Tara Lee Cobble's voice or the way she says God shot or who knows what. She's getting us to read our Bible. And if not her, find someone. Find something else. Find a Bible reading plan. And not only if you don't want to do Bible recap, if you want me to come to your house and help you find another plan, I'll do that. I won't send my wife. You'll get me personally. You'll wish I'd sent my wife. I want us to read the Bible. You know, here's the thing. If I ever preach something and it's unscriptural, go with the Bible, not me. I mean, I'm not perfect. I remember one time hearing a Bible professor I'm preaching said, yeah, when I listen to young pastors, every sermon I hear at least two or three heresies. Not that it's on purpose, but sometimes you say things a little wrong and off. We're not looking for perfection. But you need to read your Bible. You don't have to be a Bible scholar. But you need to know what the Bible says. Here's some more. We'll close with these. 2 Timothy. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly handles the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2:15. The word of truth, scripture. Psalm 1. Blessed is the one who does not walk in the step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. I guess that means you need to listen to Terry Cobble in the morning and in the evening, and maybe even over lunch. More than listen to her, read scripture. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaves do not wither. Whatever they do prospers. You know, the analogy planted by streams of water, even in a drought, they're still refreshed and don't dry out. In Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Hebrews 4:12. From book of James 1. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forget what they look like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. James 1:21 through 25. Joshua 1:8. Study this book of instructions continually. Meditate on it day and night so that you'll be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. Romans 10:17. Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message. And the message is heard through the word about Christ. All scripture is God breathed. Let us be the people who, when asked if we believe in scripture, can raise our hand. And if we're asked, have we read scripture? Are we reading scripture? We can raise our hand. It's the words of life. It's the words of righteousness. As a pastor, you'll hear me over and over say, two of my greatest desires, or the one combined desire, is to get you to pray and read scripture. Usually when I go through a book of the Bible and I preach through it, at the end, I will do a prayer or a sermon or two on prayer and Bible. Because I believe those two things are so foundational. It'd be like trying to get your kid to drive a stick shift and forgetting to tell them about the clutch and the stick. And then expecting them to go drive. Me as a pastor, to equip you, to guide you, the best thing I can do is get you to pray and read scripture. And I think Terry Lee Cobble is a great tool to use. And if not her, there's other tools out there. I just think it's so good, though, in the way she's brought this out, daily reading plans, you know, a little bit of explanation, and just the encouragement to do it and work with someone. If not her, there's other plans. But I pray, inspired by the Holy Spirit, we'll be all children of the Word. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we come before you today, Lord, let us take this message to heart, that we would begin to read Scripture new and fresh. If we've gotten bogged down, we will recommit. If we have stopped, we will restart. Lord, you have the words of eternal life. Let us turn to those words as we have read for the salvation of our souls. Lord, let us be people of the word. We pray this in your holy name. Amen.